Distilled is a production of Chemical Processing. Chemical Processing focuses on serving engineers, designing, and operating plants in the chemical industry.
Welcome to the Solution Spotlight edition of our Chemical Processing Distilled podcast. Solution Spotlight delves deeper into a topic from an industry perspective. I'm Tracy Purdom, Editor-in-Chief of Chemical Processing. In this episode, we will be talking about process organics monitoring. Joining me in this discussion is Amanda Tindall, Senior Product Manager at Veolia Water Technologies and Solutions, which is sponsoring this episode. Amanda is here to point out some challenges to consider and help us better understand process monitoring. Thanks for joining me, Amanda. You and I have chatted in the past before, and I'm looking forward to today's discussion. I know you are such an expert in this field, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you so much for having me again, Tracy. It's wonderful to be back with you, and I'm really looking forward to our time together.
Well, let's jump into it. Why is process monitoring important?
Monitoring industrial process water and wastewater is critical for process control, quality assurance, asset protection, as well as regulatory compliance. Water's used in the process, it's used in a lot of products, and then there's always wastewater generated that needs to be cleaned up before environmental discharge, or now even more potential on-site reuse. Steam generation is critical to most industrial processes, for power generation, to chemical manufacturing, food and beverage production, and oftentimes condensate streams are returned to the process if there are no leaks in the polishing system. And then where water is used as an ingredient, it must be free of carryover contamination, either from the source water or from process fluids. And then a lot of times on the wastewater side, there are discharge guidelines to meet, as well as many companies now having sustainability targets. So ultimately, process monitoring aims to maintain productivity and avoid downtime while trying to help maximize revenue and minimize costs.
There's pain points in everything that we do, right? So what are some of the current pain points with process organics monitoring, and how can they be overcome?
That's a great question. You know, what I see is kind of the biggest challenge is when users can't detect what they're looking for. They're not picking up the damaging contaminants, or they don't know what caused this certain problem for them to have to shut down or do repairs, or something's not right in the process. So ultimately, the goals of process monitoring are first to establish a baseline, detect a change from that baseline, and then take corrective action. When a user can't accurately set a baseline or pick up that deviation, then there's no ability to take a data-driven action. You could make a decision on a hunch, but that adds risk, and if that decision wasn't right, it's often hard to justify that monetary change or potential downside effect. So what problems arise? Well, either they cannot detect it because the technology isn't able to capture the full picture of the water quality. So maybe the instrument doesn't respond appropriately to the change to allow for a corrective action, or the instrument faces complex maintenance and maybe a lot of consumables to change out. So, you know, if the instrument isn't running, it's not really giving any results to take that action.
What I'm gathering then, obviously there are different TOC analyzers out there. And are there different nuances? I mean, I assume that you have one that would do the same as another.
Oh, this is a really interesting question and a fun topic. So thanks for bringing this up. I mean, I'm a TOC nerd, right? So I'll be honest there. So TOC, or total organic carbon, has been proven to be a critical tool for process monitoring. I mean, it's been used 30, 40 years in the pharmaceutical industry, the semiconductor industry, the municipal drinking water industry, as well as industrial process monitoring. What it is, if we just basically bear it down to the basics, is that it's a direct way to measure complete organic contamination. While many discharge permits for wastewater are still written for historical BOD or COD, which are biological oxygen demand and chemical oxygen demand, these measurements take 2 to 3 hours for COD with often hazardous reagents, and BOD takes 5 days. So those also suffer from interferences that are common in water streams like nitrates, chlorides, sulfides, and disinfectants. when we look at TOC analyzers, they do differ in technology depending on what the stream is monitoring. But all TOC analyzers oxidize organics in the sample to carbon dioxide and then measure that carbon dioxide. The differences are in that oxidation technique and that detection technique. So depending on the complexity of the sample depends on the technology that would be best used. For pure samples, if we think about it, you know, what they're trying to do, the goal of monitoring is really to measure nothing. They want to search for nothing, no contaminants in the water. So accuracy and precision and stability are driving factors. And the technology is pretty simple because it's looking for very small amounts of contamination. For process, utility, and even source water, TOC technologies aim to, you know, capture all of the important organics. If we're talking about source water, we're thinking humic acids, natural organic matter from the environment. But we're also talking about, you know, potentially sugars or starches if we're thinking about a food and beverage production, or maybe glycol or other cooling fluids if we're talking about utility water. And the goal there is really to provide robust operation to continuously monitor processes. Then for wastewater, where the sample gets a little more complex, or even monitoring some specialty chemicals, the analyzer, the materials must be fit for those demands. Maybe even the environment is more demanding, so you have a hazardous enclosure. And then if we're looking at measuring, you know, even brines or seawater or, you know, acids or bases, then the technology becomes a little bit more complex to handle those samples.
Do they stand up to the harsh environments you just suggested?
They do if they're built right for the application. So we wouldn't want to put a pure water analyzer on a wastewater stream. But when we think about complex streams, you know, in general, combustion has been an industry staple for organics monitoring. But there are different types of combustion. Catalytic combustion uses a platinum catalyst, where the catalyst efficiency often varies with organic compound and diminishes as active sites fill up. So for tough environments, for complex samples, catalytic combustion is often used both in the lab and online, but sometimes needs more frequent calibrations or an exchange of the catalysts and can sometimes lead to maybe untrustworthy data if it's out of range. On the contrary, high temperature non-catalytic combustion, so still combustion but no catalyst and at a higher temperature, really offers that full complete oxidation of those tough samples in those hazardous environments if you have a hazardous enclosure that can be used. And that can really be relied on for trustworthy, you know, comprehensive looking at direct all carbon data.
Let's talk a little bit about the main applications. You had mentioned earlier compliance and sustainability targets, which a lot of our listeners are concerned with. Can we talk about some of the main applications and maybe if there are additional applications where process monitoring can be used?
Sure. So you highlighted, you know, a lot of users are now thinking about their own corporate sustainability goals as well as regulatory compliance, especially when it comes to environmental discharge. And oftentimes when we're talking about the process itself, people are looking at how can we maintain productivity? How can we maximize profitability and really protect all of the assets within the facility, whether those are equipment assets like boilers and condensing treatment, or whether they're water treatment equipment like biological systems or membranes. Looking to really protect those because those are the high dollar assets is a great application for monitoring. When we think about, you know, measuring across a plant, we're trying to track water use, water treatment, and potential reuse where this sustainability goal comes in. And water's pulled from the environment where we start. You know, we walk in, water comes from the environment, then it's used in many different ways, either in utility water, so boiler feed water, condensate and cooling water, process water, and then to ultimately that collection and treatment of wastewater. So following this water cycle, typically we take water from the environment, goes through pretreatment, then it's used for sources like cooling, steam, process water, potential treatment for reuse, or a quick decision there of can we reuse this stream or does it need to be discharged? That's a critical monitoring point. And then ultimately, is it fit to go back to the environment? So each of these points must meet a quality target. And they're not all the same, right? When we talk about the different types of analyzers and different water sources, our boiler feed water needs to be really clean. We're looking for no contaminants in there, because if there are leftover organics, they can maybe break down at high temperatures and pressures in the boiler and lead to corrosive environments when they eliminate, you know, they excrete, you know, organic acids, or they create other ions in there that cause the pH to depress. When we think about wastewater, we're looking to monitor that load. So we're looking at how much wastewater is coming into the wastewater treatment. Is that changing in concentration? Is that changing in load? So that we can make sure, if we have a biological wastewater treatment process, that that bacteria is healthy, we're getting the removal, we're getting the breakdown of all of these contaminants, so that we can hit that quality target at the end. And on the front end, when we think about the source water, oftentimes we're treating it with different types of membranes of different sizes, and we've got to make sure those membranes are removing the organics that we think they are, and that they're not fouling or they don't need more cleaning cycles. And then I think the last main application is really in detecting any kind of leak. So as we're maybe recondensing that steam back down and using it and polishing it up, we want to make sure there's no leaks through any O-rings or any pump valves or anything coming in, that we can pick it up quickly at a low detection range, and we know, oh, there's a problem, I need to divert, or I need to alert and make that corrective action. So it's really important to track changes to protect downstream equipment and to protect and prevent against contamination events. So we're looking to detect heat exchanger leaks, limit product loss, minimize corrosion events, and enable reuse. I am a water nerd. I'm a TOC nerd, like I mentioned. And so I'm just fascinated by what we can do with water treatment in order to reuse it and to improve our sustainability. Some places around the world are forced to do it, and so they've kind of become experts, but there's so much opportunity in the industrial space. When we think about, you know, semiconductor manufacturing, those water systems are so expensive. They use a ton of water, and so they're often forced to figure out how to reuse. So they are. Well, how can we do more of that with food and beverage manufacturing, with chemical manufacturing, petrochemical? I mean, we're starting to see more of that, and it's really exciting. But you do have to make sure that water quality is fit for that purpose to reuse it. And what is that purpose? How can we get creative? If it's not, then we need to know what's going to that wastewater treatment and ultimately meet those discharge compliance guidelines.
So many opportunities from such a single point that can branch out into to all of the areas that you just discussed. And it's very intriguing. I'm becoming a water nerd as well. anything that you would like to add that we didn't talk about?
Yes. There's one more thing I wanted to touch on, is that when we think about, you know, what's changing and how can we overcome some of these pain points? Newer technologies are adding in automation features and predictive diagnostics, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at, you know, how can we prevent downtime, lower the maintenance, and make sure that users are getting the data when they need it and they can trust it. So a lot of newer analyzers have automated check standards or automated rinsing, which helps with those challenging samples we talked about. And that way you can verify everything's running where it should, we're getting accurate results, and we're not getting any kind of gunk building up inside the equipment. So that is really helping to handle these tougher, challenging samples and to make sure that the instrumentation is running properly, that it's robust, that it's reliable. We're also able to get status monitoring of what's going on inside the analyzer. So there's some kind of predictive diagnostics going on where we're looking at how are the parts doing, how are the consumables doing. And it's not just a timer anymore of you put this reagent or part in and it lasts X amount of days, months, years. It actually looks at what's the usage. How much is this part being stressed? How long can it last? Can it last longer? Or is this a tough application and maybe we want to replace it a little bit sooner? The goal of all of this is to really minimize maintenance frequency and optimize performance. So when looking at analytical equipment, you know, we need to look at what's the process it's going through. Is that simple? Is it easy to use? And is it going to give me the ultimately, uptime is what we're looking for. We want to try to design instrumentation with robustness, reliability, and responsiveness to be able to, you know, get that baseline, detect a change, and make that corrective action. But you can't do that if the instrument isn't running. So it really is important to look for that high uptime, simple operation and maintenance in order to try and optimize the process, maximize profitability for those users, and find opportunities for sustainability.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for taking the time to educate us in all things process monitoring. Your passion obviously shines through and your expertise is much appreciated. On behalf of Amanda and the team at Veolia Water Technologies and Solutions, thank you for listening to the Solution Spotlight edition of our Chemical Processing Distilled podcast. Thanks again, Amanda.
Thank you so much, Tracy. I really appreciate the time, and our team's always happy to chat with you. So we look forward to connecting again next time.
Wonderful.